Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Please welcome the wickedly talented...
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. I got a big, big hot piece of news right off the bat. This is Levins, my good friend Angus Truscott, joining me for yet another classic, perfect episode of Hey Fam. You want to know why it's going to be perfect, Angus?
I'll tell you why. I was trying to burp then. I was trying to like time a burp to it.
So
real Garfield.
Over in my fucking loser house, I made a pumpkin Luxa. Gross.
Look, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right.
But I did some crunchy
chickpeas to go with it. It was pretty good. Made the Luxa paste from scratch. Pretty happy with it. But over in the King's Dominion.
Seriously, over in the castle here, you must have eaten that just on the edge of the moat, just in the village. Because up here in the highest turret in my palace, I snacked on a motherfucking calzone.
The calzone.
Because the days are back, baby.
Calzone days are back.
Some days you just wake up and you go, yeah, these are the calzone days.
So you put a photo up in the PayFam Discord.
In the PayFam chat.
And it's
a lot of people are reacting. A lot of people ask what's on there.
A calzone, normally people just think, you know, it's a folded over pizza. Your guys.
Yeah, if you're going to the wrong place, it is, sure. You know what I mean? If you go into like a Pizza Hut or like, you know, Domino's, they'll flip a pizza in half, charge you double and go, here's your calzone, go fuck yourself. Basically, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually what calzone is in Italian. It's go fuck yourself.
It means go fuck yourself. Yeah. If you get handed a calzone in Sicily and you aren't like given the go fuck yourself gesture, pinch yourself because you're not in Sicily. You know, you must be dreaming. I have no idea why I picked Sicily. It's not like it is the home of the calzone. You know what this is. You know what this is going to lead to, an absolute deep dive on calzone in a moment.
That's what this episode is. The home of calzones. Because I've been to the
calzone king.
I've been to the home of, I guess, the home of pizza and the home of pizza fritta, which is the big deep fried pizza.
That's right.
That's the best shit ever. You have one of them? They make the pizza, they fold it over and they dip in this big vat of hot oil. And in
you know what that is? That is the calzone days for calzone days.
That's right.
Like when the calzone days aren't enough.
The calzone
when your regular
days,
are calzone days.
When you're having a calzone week and you want to add an extra calzone day, pizza fritta.
There are calzone weekends. If you've had 5 days in a row, business days of calzone days, then on the weekend you're allowed to dip into pizza fritta
is the 3 day weekend of a calzone week.
Yeah, it's the four-day working week of Italian cuisine. It's the pizza fritta.
But your calzone was like, it looked they dunked a bit of red sauce over the top of it.
Yeah, man. Let me. You know what? I saved a slice for this audible episode, so I could show the kids.
And also, Angus. Now we're recording. We're in ISO, so Angus. Angus records next to his fridge.
Yeah, everyone at work's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, hashtag winning, obviously. Allow me to quote my friend of the
your
show,
mentor,
Charlie Sheen.
Your mentor, Charlie Sheen.
My mentor, he's going to deny it, but he did mentor me. All right, so I got a slice here.
Wow.
What we're dealing with is they've put on some of their, it's amazing tomato sauce, but there's some crisp to the top, which as it should have. But then they've also done a slight sprinkling of, I think, freshly grated parmesan.
Mozzarella? All right. You got a bit of...
The mozzarella's on the inside. You're working with some salam. You're working with some olive. You're working with some mozzarella. The best part is I have Italian cousins and they're probably like, this guy fucking sucks. Stealing valor.
Calzone to this Angus. Go
so here
yourself.
We go. On the outside, it's parmesano. on the inside. We're working with mozzarella, salumo.
Salumo. You should, guys, I'm sure you can imagine the gestures that Angus is making at his phone right now.
I'm doing the calzone sign. It's I'm glorious. Telling everyone. Looking with the olive, mozzarella, the tomato, parmesan on top, and olive oil. So, yeah, that's kind of... It's kind of what I'm dealing this with. Is a I've just saved a big chunk for tomorrow because I'm like, what's better than one calzone day? Two calzone days. I'm making this a calzone weekend.
Are you like eating this calzone because you've been playing so much Paper Mario this week? And that little Italian plumber.
You know what? It could be that. You've it actually could
plunger
be that.
In
I was
one
wondering
hand,
what it was.
Pizza slice in the other.
Also, I've been doing some...
you have got a moustache now.
So, I mean, I know.
First Mario game you've played since you have a moustache?
Yeah, and I'm like, finally, some representation in video games. I had Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh, no, I could have had Red Dead, but didn't have enough testosterone. What else can you have funny facial hair in? Joel? No, I know he had a beard.
Maybe Cyberpunk. I think you can put a moustache on your dick.
Oh, yeah. You can put a moustache on your trans vagina dick, which I will be doing. I think you can give yourself all genitals, which I know I'll be doing.
Well, like
because I can't wait in the future... to be told which bathroom to use when it's definitely up to me. You know?
Is that's the core gameplay of Cyberpunk.
Yeah, it's how dystopian it is that there's still dicks telling you what bathrooms you can and can't use. Also, it's Keanu Reeves.
Like, you can't go in there. Damn it, Keanu. I thought you were cool.
Yeah. Whoa, where do you think you're going? You like can't go in there. Yeah, he's a Republican in the cyberpunk dystopian future.
It's the role it's how I choose to present myself in the world that I don't exist in.
You know what? Keanu's the only guy who would say like, I don't vote, I don't believe in politics, and I actually wouldn't get mad at. I'd be like, you know what? That actually suits your arc.
Maybe I don't believe in politics even.
Yeah, like that's not me, man. And or he's like, I'm still thinking about. Like, I don't want to waste my vote, my privilege. I need to really think of it. Like, he still hasn't found the person worth voting for.
He should be president.
Absolutely. He looks incredible, for starters.
Just imagine. I can't imagine him in a suit, but I just love the image of him, like, meeting other world leaders.
Well, you haven't seen John Wick. Like, this is all you get is suits. Like,
I know. You're, man, there's a difference between a John Wick suit and a president suit.
Not much. Not much.
He doesn't wear a red tie.
Well, I reckon he'll go black tie, John Wick tie.
Okay, well, yeah, Keanu 2024.
I'm looking at the history here, and it actually is...
Of calzones or Keanu Reeves?
It's Italian for trouser.
Really?
Stocking or trouser.
Wow.
That's hilarious. I love that. What are your thoughts on that?
Why? So, I guess because it looks like a pair of pants, that's why they named it a calzone?
I don't know, man. I'd love to think that like some drunk pizza chef tried like had his pants off while making it and accidentally wore a pizza as pants and walked home and his wife's like, "Mamma mia, what are you doing?"
Yeah, maybe he flavored it with pants. I love that instead of Paper Mario, it's just all calzone. Paper Mario and the 1,000-year calzone. Angus, you are really deep.
Yeah, I was just reading the history. it's saying, I think there's some like calzone debates because I'm getting at least six cities here where it's claiming to have been the first.
Maybe next week we'll do the history of calzone episode.
Yeah, I think so. Also, it's not a stromboli, which is a big no-no.
What's stromboli? Oh,
that's like a pizza thing.
That's how you say socks.
That's where they roll it.
Right.
They roll it. This was invented by Italian Americans in Philadelphia, so... That's a whole other can of worms, right. You know?
I do like the Americana Italian as well.
Like, yeah, because when I'm only basing this off The Sopranos, but when they go to Italy, they hate Italian food.
Why? Well, like, I remember
American Italian.
The first time I went to like a proper Italian restaurant and my parents are like, yeah, we're going to have pizza and like getting the pizza and it's, you know, very olive oily and... It's not like, you know, nothing like Pizza Hut or Domino's Pizza. Or I remember thinking it was so disgusting.
Yeah. It's always worse here, though. Like, Domino's in America... I know this is different. Domino's here is worse than Domino's in America. Domino's in America it ain't bad if you've like had a butt or two.
Yeah, Domino's pizza here is disgusting. It's so gross.
It's horrible. It's not. I don't know how they pass it off as dough. Like, I don't know if it's franchised here, if there's like quality control.
The dough is like so sugary.
The dough is disgusting. The dough is like cake. But I remember I was there like a couple of years ago and all my luggage was lost. It hadn't come yet. And my friend and I were in this like Airbnb. It was like 1 a.m. and we were just like, man, we got to get food. And the only thing that was open was like Domino's. And we're like, oh, we may as well. I mean, LA getting Domino's is pretty weird within itself.
Yeah.
It's not really a LA food. And then got it. And we're like, holy shit, this is actually way better than Domino's back home. That's like such a normie conversation. I'm sorry. It's being like, oh, in America, it actually tastes better.
Or like, it's almost like within a moment after asking what movies did you watch on the plane, whenever someone comes back from overseas, you're like, oh, did you have the McDonald's over there?
Yeah, it's like, shit, man. No, now you mentioned it. Turn this fucking plane around. Something I forgot. Captain, the Calzone days are back. This is your captain speaking.
Yeah,
Calzone day.
Take me back to...
International Dateline means we've got a couple Calzone days coming up.
Take me back to McDonald's in Napoli for the Mick Calzone.
Fuck, could you imagine?
Yeah, it's just a Big Mac wrapped in pizza dough.
It's like Ronald McDonald with a like big moustache. a bad attitude and pizza, instead of clown pants, he's got a fucking pizza on each leg.
Yeah, and their charity over there is the house with no strombolis.
Mm. Well, it's a house where they serve stromboli.
Right.
When you ordered a calzone.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because that's the real charity.
So a game came out, two big games came out in the last week.
End of calzone talk.
Yeah, who knows? It could come back. But
no, I wonder, what are you going to have for dinner tomorrow night? I mean, now that
I made enough for two nights of pumpkin laksa.
Interesting. Two nights of calzone here.
No, I know you're eating that shit for lunch. By the way...
Oh, yeah, you're so right.
We should say that Angus and I spent the week... Our family spent the weekend together. Just like almost newlyweds, it was time for me to meet his parents.
Which you've already done.
I've already met him, but I've never slept in the same house as them.
No, I haven't slept in the same house as yours. I'd love if I just did that now without like telling them or you and you're just like slept out the back with the dog or something. Just like, hey guys.
Leave them a review on Airbnb.
They're
page
like, we don't have Airbnb. Yeah.
But I slept in your childhood bedroom.
I
made pancakes.
And your kids
slept
in my childhood bedroom.
All right, you had two bedrooms. That's great.
Well, I had one until I was about seven, and my parents were in your one. And then when they extended the house, they went upstairs, and I got that house. That room.
But I made breakfast. I made pancakes for breakfast the morning, and I have evidence, photographic evidence, of Angus. I hate breakfast himself eating pancakes. So can we get a review?
To my credit, I did it to not insult you.
Okay, I wouldn't have been insulted. I would have just been like, well, good for him for sticking true to his beliefs.
I had one though, when everyone else was going near the 5 or 6 ballpark figure.
Yeah.
I think Archie had 8.
Yeah, Archie can eat pancakes like no one else.
I had one. And even then I was like, I don't want this, but I'm going to do it. This is how I win.
Yeah, I got some...
See, I'll keep you guessing.
I got
You're
some...
You're like, holy shit.
Some clarification on some classic HeyFam tales. I asked your mum to give her side of the story of you getting kidnapped in Bali.
Oh, God. This is going to be a stromboli calzone debate all over again.
It was conflicting. Great. Yeah, I mean, you know, she definitely in denial of the trauma that you faced as a young person getting kidnapped in Bali.
Laughed it off. When I was off, like, yeah. This actually was concerning.
But so you have a memory of getting kidnapped in Bali when you were an infant. And
no, I was kidnapped in Bali as an infant is how I would phrase it.
So your mum said that she and your father were eating dinner and the chef and the waitstaff thought you were adorable. And so they asked if they could take you to the kitchen. And so
that's where my alarm bell goes off. Yeah. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm kind of like, no.
And they were, and so your parents were like, sure. And they got to eat the rest of their meal in peace while you got taken out of the kitchen and put into someone's car.
And photos taken of me. Which she's like, yeah, they're taking photos of you, as if like that wasn't weird.
That's so weird.
So she basically said everything I said happened, but then said, it's not kidnapping, shut up. And like, she was like, yes, you were taken from me. Yes, you were put in the back of a car at a restaurant. Yes, photos were taken of you. Don't be such a moron. You weren't kidnapped. But I was like, no, but I was like on the verge of being child trafficked. Absolutely. No, and then I Googled like dictionary definition of kidnapping.
Because that's how you win like, an argument.
Well, this is how I, if I, you know, if we were arguing about Calzone, I would have won because I've got this info in front of it. But it said, you know, a child being held against their will until a ransom is paid. And I'm like, well, did you pay for dinner? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, and was I returned? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you've literally done all of the steps, everything we've discussed. If I was a lawyer, I could say that actually was kidnapping because every part of kidnapping was played in that play-by-play.
I mean, 80s Balinese prices, they probably paid about $6 for your return.
4 cents. Yeah,
for dinner
also,
and your return.
Also, that Bali, very different to Bali now. It's like dirt roads and shit. Motorbikes and dirt roads. There was no like, I'm not saying it, like, you know, it was sick, but it was not like mega malls or like, there were some resorts, but it wasn't like it is now where it's like, the Gold Coast and Kuta.
There was only one place per road selling offensive bumper stickers.
That's right. And there was only one Hard Rock Cafe.
We also, like the night ended, you and me like just sinking those beers and I even got some, I got the scotch out, but the night ended.
Look, I'm not a scotch head. I will admit, but I, again, like the pancake, I had one.
A sympathy scotch. But yeah, the
I
night
couldn't have you drinking it alone.
The night ended with you and me, everyone else asleep, and you and me watching the first ever YouTube playlists we made from 13 years ago.
Our liked videos.
Yeah, I highly recommended. Just sink as much alcohol as you can manage. Sit down with an old friend and go back to the beginning of your YouTube liked videos playlist.
I'll tell you what. It's an internet that doesn't exist anymore, that's for sure. Unfiltered, just actual videos of people being dumb cunts. Just so funny. It was so refreshing. It was before Google even bought YouTube.
Before YouTuber was a profession. It was just
before PewDiePie said the N-word for the first time. When the N-word was just a sparkle in his eye.
Yeah. That was good. We tried to watch a show I've been watching a lot of lately. I'm really bummed because we couldn't get it working on the TV, but it's a anime called Extra Olympia Kyklos. And it's a really, really short, like it's a 5-minute comedy manga anime, which I think
they're all funny to me.
But
have you seen Neon Genesis Evangelion? That shit's fucking hilarious.
But I feel like if you can imagine like a Japanese take on an Adult Swim style show where it's like, yeah, all the episodes are 5 minutes long and it's like this bawdy comedy about like a guy from like the when did the Olympics start? Around the same time as the calzone was invented, I think.
Yeah, I think it was the same. I think the calzone is actually left what inspired the discus.
Right, exactly.
From what I'm reading here.
So he you know, he's a Roman dude who travels back forward in time to modern day Japan, and he wants to basically it's a stupid screwball anarchic comedy called
Happens to the Best of Us.
Yeah, it's really funny. I definitely recommend it. It's on Crunchyroll if anyone wants to watch it, and you know, maybe if you run out of videos from 13 years ago in your liked videos playlist. Put this one on next because it would have fit the vibe perfectly, I think.
Let's get back to that YouTube. What were some of the hits that came up? Like, what when you were watching that, did you think first of all, did you think like, okay, like YouTube now is a totally different beast?
Yeah, I mean, none of the videos we watched began with someone like, hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to blah blah blah. That doesn't.
There was
happen.
No monetization. Remember, this was when YouTube was like. Like it was like Live Leak essentially. It was just like
totally.
Videos.
We watched a couple of very early Nathan Fielder videos.
It's funny because like I think looking at the list, you could watch it and be like, oh yeah, that was us. Like it was very true to us.
Yes, definitely. But I can't remember. There were lots of dumb. Did we watch any prank videos? No, there was a few like
no,
a few goofs.
All of mine were usually I was a big fan, it seems, of redubbed live action Ninja Turtle sequences from their lesser known straight to video like Christmas live action videos where they would sing and stuff with like 3-6 Mafia over the top. Lick my nuts. suck my butt. I have had
that 3-6 Mafia song. Yeah, it's so good.
I've had that in my head since we watched it. And them walking through the sewers with like dumb homeless kids on drums. Like singing about licking their nuts. It's like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. This stuff aged really well.
And it's canon.
And also my other favorite, the Pretty Ricky Late Night Special, which yeah. I still think is the... I know they sent like a gold record into space in the 70s with like recordings of animals and earth sounds and like... really dumb images of like the earth and how many planets. Well, they're not dumb, they're actually sick, like where we are. They should actually just get that, bring that bitch back and put on the Pretty Ricky Late Night Special video of just six dudes humping a couch and then go, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, one of the best ever. It's like pretty Ricky on the stereo up. They introduce themselves, then they air hump to
six,
show,
like,
show off their
I'd
moves.
Say late teen, early 20 guys, and they're just like shirts off. There's an ottoman in the
yeah,
middle of
the
living room.
Yeah, they're just fucking the
living
ottoman.
Room.
And then like, and then
and
once
they're just fucking it.
Once each of them has like 10 seconds with the ottoman, they move to a different part of the room and fuck that part of the room while their friend
and make way for the next person. And
God,
then by the end
good.
Of the video, there's like six dudes, shirts off, just humping things in a room really seductively. It's yeah. like it is seriously amazing. It's probably one of the best things I've seen.
Okay, so HeyFam gets given a grant to send a capsule into space. We're putting that on
yeah.
there.
Oh, this is great.
We're putting yeah. the Kevin Smith tweet.
Kevin Smith tweet, Guy Fieri's Instagram.
Yeah, we're putting Mission Impossible Fallout with the first 5 minutes removed and a copy of WarioWare Gold.
And it's, yeah, perfect. I guess like
a calzone. Yeah, definitely a calzone. Yeah.
A ticket to Joker.
Yep.
What else? What else do we do on this podcast?
And then we'll just squeeze John Travolta in there.
Yeah, Johnny Trav some. Yeah, that'd be nice. Johnny, like a, yeah, maybe like a, I don't know, one of his wigs. Maybe like his goatee from Swordfish.
A ripped copy of,
what else did we?
What was the Tom Hardy movie we watched this year?
Oh, man, Capone.
Put Capone in there. Capone
which
and
I'll
Calzone.
Call Calzone. They're going to make a movie about my life when I'm shitting the bed and got called Tom Calzone. Hardy playing me with like makeup on, shitting a Calzone out. Quack.
Yeah, so as I was saying about 10 minutes ago, two big
oh,
games
Venom.
Came out. Obviously Venom. Blu-ray copy of Venom. Oh, and some Venom 3D. And the 3D double disc Blu-ray of
oh, yeah.
Legends
Owls
of the Guardians,
Gahul.
Owls of Gahul, and Yogi Bear. Obviously.
And Yogi Bear, starring Justin Timberlake as Boo Boo.
And Dan Aykroyd.
Is Dan Aykroyd Yogi Bear?
Yeah, yeah. Good things come in bears. And TJ TJ Miller
like,
is the Ranger.
Holy shit. So funny seeing TJ Miller in things. Like,
he was everywhere for about 4? A couple of years. Like,
He's like the comic relief in Transformers 4 before he gets like killed 20 minutes in, like a building falls on him. And Marky Mark's like, oh man, we got to get out of here. It's like no reaction at all. I think it's his best friend. And then it was so funny still when we saw Ready Player One and he's in it. And you just like, that was like 6 months
right.
after he like tried bombing an Amtrak or something. Reeking of red wine, claiming that a woman had a bomb or something.
And he's in Big Hero 6. He's like the grandson of Stan Lee. Like the Stan Lee cameo in that is.
That's right. And he essentially plays Jason Mewes.
Yeah, totally.
He's like a stoner. Like the closest thing to Disney would have to a stoner.
He's in all of the How to Train Your Dragon movies too, right?
No, they replaced him, I think.
Right.
I don't think he's in that, is he?
Yeah, he's in one.
Oh, no, he is. He's one of the twins. I think they replaced him.
I accidentally Googled, instead of TJ Miller, How to Train Your Dragon, I just Googled TJ Miller, how? And then it's just And then it's just all like recommended searches. What happened to TJ Miller? How old is TJ Miller?
Very cool. Yeah, I don't think he's in it. I mean, we don't want him in it, do we?
No, he's definitely he's in one and two.
Yeah, I don't think he's in three.
He plays Tough Nut.
All right. How to Train Your Dragon 3, Tough Nut.
He looks like Jason Mewes in that too. Why the fuck is it called Tough Nut?
Yeah, he did it in the third one. He was recast.
Who plays him?
Damn. Let me find out. I'll go to that IMDb. You know what? I'll go to...
here we go. Liam O'Brien in... Jason Ruppel is his name. The last one was
Jason
called
Ruppel.
The Hidden World. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's right. You haven't seen it, have you? You should watch it, man.
Yeah, this guy looks nothing like TJ Miller.
But you could think it's a cartoon. you haven't watched two or three, have you?
No, I've only seen the first one. Oh, fuck. Speaking of not realizing I hadn't seen a movie, B and I the other night were like, oh, let's watch an action for some action. Like, let's just...
Yes.
Every weekend, let's watch some, like, you know, dumb action movies. And I was like, oh, let's watch the Mission Impossibles. And she was like, great idea. So we started the first one. They're all on Netflix at the moment, except five. So I started watching the first one and thinking like, yeah, I've seen the first one, the second one. I thought I've seen everything except the third one. And so I started the first one and got about 20 minutes to half an hour into it before I just had to just admit, I've never seen this movie before. I've lived my entire life thinking I've seen the first Mission Impossible.
Do you know how jealous I kind of am of you? That's like... cool amnesia. But, that's what I like to think.
So imagine seeing almost all of the Mission Impossibles and then going back to one now with this pre-existing idea of what you think a Mission Impossible movie is, and then seeing that first movie and going like, oh, the first character that you meet is Emilio Estevez. And
absolutely.
And it's this mindfuck mystery movie by Brian De Palma. It's
like a paranoid, like crazy noir. Well, not noir, but like that type of super paranoid type of late 70s new wave shit where you kind of you don't really trust anyone you're watching.
Yeah, I mean, as a modern franchise, the first Mission Impossible movie has way more in common with the Bourne movies than it does the later Mission Impossible movies. It was incredible. That movie is fucking crazy.
It's so good.
It's a really confusing like
11
thread.
And had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Like at the midway point, I'm like, all right, I'm out. But then at the end, I'm like, oh, okay, so he's back. Okay, cool.
But like the direction in it is insane too. Like some of the camera angles, like it's a proper film. It's not like...
It's a film. It was like, yeah, it's Brian De Palma. It's bonkers. Like so many iconic scenes too, like the train at the end, the fucking hacking from... Like that movie is still parodied today.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, obviously the lowering yourself into the bit.
The like dropping the thing in the drink, like making the guy sick. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
The chewing gum, the red light, green light, and like running out the restaurant. It's so sick. Plus also super dope 1996 era Macintoshes
everywhere.
Apple products.
Yeah, I mean besides the hacking programs, there it is. The Calzone days are back, everyone. Besides the hacking
programs. They are coming back up.
It's a pretty like almost timeless movie.
So the guy who's, he's like the head of the IMF, I think I was telling you, he's coming back for 7 or 8.
Oh, right. The guy who you think is the bad guy for most of the movie, and then you learn.
Yeah.
It ain't.
Yeah. Which
you,
is sick.
You and I spent a lot of our weekend away like talking about like how underrated Brian De Palma is.
Hundo. I mean, he's rated in the right circles, but I mean like he's often forgotten with like, you know, quasi-mainstream people romanticizing like Coppola and Scorsese and all those punks. Like I always find he's a guy who's just slightly not as remembered despite like making huge significant.
Yeah. Like in a 20-year period, he makes Carrie, Dressed to Kill, Scarface, The Untouchables.
Carrie's so good.
Mission Impossible, Body Double, and Carlito's Way.
I mean, come on.
And Blowout. Like there's so many amazing movies in his... in his repertoire.
So many.
But I haven't seen anything since, I guess, like Mission Impossible now. Like I haven't really seen any of the 90s or 2000s movies he's made.
What else is there?
All right. So since Mission Impossible, oh wait, well, yes, I have. I've seen Snake Eyes.
The insane Snake Eyes rules.
Mission to Mars. I've not seen that.
What did he make Mission to Mars?
Yeah, he directed it.
I thought that was, yeah, right.
Femme Fatale, with Antonio Banderas and Rebecca Roman Stamos. The Black Dahlia with Josh Hartnett.
Look, there's some stinkers in there.
Yeah, Redacted, Passion, Domino. And then apparently he has two movies on the way called Sweet Vengeance and Catch and Kill. So he definitely he loves a femme fatale, he loves a crime movie. But he's on some classics, that's for sure.
The real crime is not getting his the recognition he deserves.
Shit, man, he did The Bonfire of the Vanities.
Yeah, that's right. Tom Hanks
and Bruce Willis.
Tom Hanks a lot.
Oh yeah.
That's it. Tom Hanks a lot.
There's someone in, I think a while ago I read out, like while we were recording, I was interrupted by a bizarre anti-vax like healing message that I read out from someone that I'm friends with on Facebook that I just keep around because she posts insane stuff.
Just good things. So nice, she's normal things.
She's come back from overseas and is now in quarantine.
Wait, how is she overseas?
I don't know. I guess she was living overseas. I had no idea. I didn't even touch with her. And so her every post now is about how much she hates being in hotel quarantine and how can she escape, and they have to do the COVID test on her, but she doesn't want them to let them test her, and what can she do to get out of it. And then now she started posting about like the deep Hollywood pedophilia circle and ring, like that Tom
Hanks
is why do people think Tom Hanks is like a pedophile king?
So they think Tom Hanks was the first. They think he's like. They think that COVID was designed by people to, like, eradicate pedophiles without having to like take them to court because they'd get away. So that's why they're like Tom Cruise and his wife got infected first.
Tom Hanks,
it's like the deep state claiming out pedophiles.
Right.
Or that was like. So she's on that straight up QAnon shit.
Oh, it's insane. I'll send you some screenshots. It's great stuff. But I have to, I'm worried about how much longer I can stay attached to her in case she brings me down with her just by being 1 degree of separation away from her.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Look, all of this, all of the pedophile circle, all this stuff it's covered in Paper Mario, the Origami King.
The Origami King is, of course, head of QAnon. He's Tom Hanks, and origami is pedophilia, and only Paper Mario can bring down pedophilia.
So both two of the biggest games of the year, I guess. Maybe one of the biggest Nintendo games, and then the second biggest.
One of the only Nintendo games.
PlayStation game. Oh Jesus! We can talk about the Nintendo Direct Mini as well, but. Ghost of Tsushima.
Some tentpole releases came out on the same day.
And Paper Mario, the Origami King. We both came out on Friday. And I think we both thought that we were going to go straight into Ghost of Tsushima. I certainly did.
I wonder why. Yeah, I did too for a while. But then it was the effect of playing like Last of Us 1, Last of Us Left Behind, and Last of Us 2. And then like half of Last of Us 2 New Game Plus. I was just like, maybe I need some fucking stupid little paper versions of Mario to make to crack jokes about Mario. And you know what? I couldn't be happier for that decision.
Yeah, so you started playing it while we were as we were going to go away.
I started playing it Friday, midnight.
And you were like, oh, it's really good. And I heard like the reviews are like, it's fine. Like the initial reviews are like, you know, it's pretty good. People are still, and we're going to go into
this. There was some discourse before with the, when they did that reveal like a week before, when they did like a longer look at it in Treehouse, when people were like, it's not the game I played 40 years ago and stuff like that.
So we're going to do like a little history of Mario RPGs in PayFam this week. But
well, no, I reckon let's even go a little broader than RPGs. Like, let's do like non-mainline Marios.
Yeah, cool. I mean, we go down that path as well. Like, yeah, but I mean, the main point I want to get to is that like you have like that Square Enix produced Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about this last week. Didn't we talk about, yeah, we talked about that one last week.
And then they make Paper Mario on 64 and then Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door on GameCube, and they're like
GameCube.
They're all
Super Paper Mario,
very very like true RPGs. You know, you level up through battling, and you know, get experience points through battles. And then after that, in like during the Wii area, they make Super Paper Mario, which is not an RPG. It still is part of the same franchise, but it now relies on this gimmick where if you hold the Wiimote on its side, it goes from a 2D game to a 3D game, or vice versa.
That was pretty cool. I still remember playing that and being like, that was sick. I know it wasn't, you know, an RPG.
No, totally. There's some amazing parts of that game for sure. But then from that moment onwards, and like I've been reading weird articles and weird interviews, but Miyamoto kind of going nuts and like being very, very focused on simplifying every Nintendo game and like making it accessible for like 6-year-olds through to 60-year-olds. And I think Paper Mario, that whole series gets very affected by those decisions. So
yeah,
like,
they were an oddly hardcore, and that's in very big air quotes, like a Nintendo game in terms of mechanics. And also, they kind of were straight in terms of gameplay, which is something like you don't really consider Nintendo for now. Like every game has a gimmick.
Well, I mean, like even the first Paper Mario games, as far as RPGs go, they have gimmicks in that you don't just say attack and then your character attacks. Yes,
you have to like time it.
Your attacks are extra powerful if whenever a Mario jumps on their head, you push A at the right time, and then he does an extra powerful jump, or he bounces effortlessly onto the next enemy, and you can chain attacks like that. So there is a little bit more of a, you know, I think that was the first game to kind of pioneer that. Paper Mario Sticker Star on 3DS. Is one of the worst games that I bought for the 3DS. Like, just like an unbelievably boring, tedious game with
imagine if that's
so much backtracking.
What you missed. Imagine if that's what you missed Mission Impossible for.
I would have been
fucking
devastated.
Disgusting. Yeah, I already am. I still am.
Made by the same studio, Intelligent Systems, one of the Nintendo first-party studios. They make the Wario games, they make Fire Emblem, Advance Wars, and they make the Paper Mario franchise.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, and then they made Color Splash on Wii U, which people said was a bit better than Sticker Star, but overall, like, was still like quite
same
a boring,
shit.
Disappointing. The biggest thing is that they got rid of experience points, and people were kind of hoping with the Origami King that they were going to bring that back, and it would be a bit more of a traditional RPG. And a lot of people's initial disappointment before the game came out was the reveal that experience points, you know, if you fight a bunch of enemies, you get a bunch of points, and then you level up. That's not part of this game. There is leveling up in the game, but it's done differently.
Yeah, like you get more health and then the enemies get stronger. Like it's all hidden from us. It's simply like, yeah, it's that Nintendo thing of like removing numbers and stats and stuff like that to kind of simplify the zone. But the other thing is like, I don't give a shit that it's not an RPG, you know, like it's a Mario adventure game, and that's so fine by me.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess like when like Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is like a pretty close to perfect, like fun RPG.
100%.
And I think I understand why people are desperate for Nintendo to make another game like that one. That said, I think this game is like as enjoyable as Thousand Year Door. It's just different. It is, yeah, like you said, it's an adventure game with very light RPG mechanics.
Why do you think it's just that simplification of let's not do a straight up RPG?
I don't know. I think it is like a lot of it. I've watched so many stupid videos about like, here's why Paper Mario sucks now. And like everyone blames somebody else. But, you know, you can't deny that in the Wii days, Nintendo really simplified a lot of their games.
Yeah.
To a point where like, yeah, anything kind of straightforward was almost non-existent from their games for a few years. And they made a lot of weird decisions. And I feel like...
It worked for them though. Like it made a lot of money.
In the Wii days, but then it did not work for them at all for the Wii U and then even the 3DS.
Like, the Wii U's a weird one because they didn't even simplify stuff. They just made stuff really fucking complicated. They went from the most simple system, like the Wii U, where like your grandparents could bowl and shit, to like now you hold this second screen and you look up there and you have to match stuff. I remember like the biggest case in point for like how much of a failure in simplicity the Wii U was you've just got to take a look at the prepackaged game. And remember it came with Nintendo Land?
Yep.
And that was like, you couldn't teach your grandparent to play that. It wasn't Wii Sports.
Yeah, it was awesome, but it was very, very complicated.
It was like complicated.
In terms of like mechanics and things like that. Like it was a simple game, but we like a lot of things to learn in order to play it.
Yeah, and I think that is so indicative.
Yeah, you don't want your parents to learn what a hub world is before they play the pack-in game, because that's like, you know how you had to, you're essentially in that big like fun park and then you had to run around to different attractions. Nintendo Land was cool. I hope they revisit that at some point. Paper Mario, the Origami King, is it's like a classic, fun, silly Mario story where Princess Peach has not been kidnapped in this one. She has been turned into origami. And there is like, an origami kingdom that's invaded the Mushroom Kingdom, the Paper Mushroom Kingdom, that is. And you team up with the sister of the bad guy. And the bad guy is turning everyone in Mario's kingdom into origami. And he steals Peach's...
Are you reading this or is this from memory? I want to see how much
it's from memory. His memory.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
He steals Peach's castle and wraps it up in 5 different colored streamers. And then so
5? I thought it was 6.
I think pretty sure it's 5. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's 5.
And then so you set out on an adventure to basically detach these streamers and level up and then face this
and
bad
guy.
And
do bits about Mario games.
Yeah, so like the writing in this is like the main thing I would say is the reason to play it. It's really, really funny. Like it's certainly sweet.
Yeah, it's like, if you play Mario, you're like, this is cool.
Yeah, you're right. It's not, games very rarely would make anyone laugh out loud. But
what's a funny game? Let's see.
What the Golf made me laugh pretty loudly. But,
sure.
But that was more because of like the weird physics that I was like, the unexpected. I guess like writing in a game like is amusing, but it's always like, that's my impersonation of me finding something funny in a game. Like a real smug,
shitty
noise.
I think of a game
noise.
That I've played. Maybe like the South Park games sometimes are like kind of like actual funny. I'm trying to think of a time where I've played a game and I'm like, I remember laughing in the South Park game when you the character selection and like one of them's Jew and like the character's like, Cartman, you can't do that. Like that's and he like insists to you, the player, that that's a class. Like, and uses like the video game language of like having to pick your race and like job system. But then, like, showing his anti-Semitism. I don't know. That's, like, I think that's, like, a time I've laughed. Not because of... Just because it was, like, it's using video game language, but it's still comedy first.
Actually, it's funny that you mentioned the South Park games because I think no series is more influenced by the Paper Mario games than those two games, the Fractured
Butthole.
Well,
also, and, let's one-up that. Paper Mario is probably influenced by South Park in terms of animation.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's funny that because like the first Paper Mario game came out on 64 during the time where there was no bigger time where polygons mattered. And
did it come out in Australia?
I'm not sure if it did. I only ever played it on my Wii. I bought it on the
right.
On the
I mean,
eShop.
I know Mario RPG never came out to never made it to Australia.
I'll have a look, but Yes, it's funny that, like, you know, during a time where, like, you know, you pretty much saw no platformer games on the 64 or anything like that, they were like, let's do a 2D paper game.
But that was an RPG, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, like, you know, the 2D side-scroller games, I mean, are almost, like, non-existent from
gotcha.
There. Like, Castlevania Symphony of the Night was, like, panned when it came out because it was because it felt like a retro game that no one wanted to play.
Right. Well, Paper Mario did come out. 64 did come out in Australia.
There you go.
I didn't play it. I think that was still part of that era where, like, I didn't have a job and getting video games was, like, hard.
Yeah, well, I didn't even have a console back then, but I did play it when it came to Wii.
I remember, like, buying video games that were, like, $120, like, just new ones, and they would never drop in price. And you're like, I guess I'll buy the $120 game. Like, that's psycho.
That's why so many kids would only have one game a year.
I pretty much had a game a year and I just would play it over and over and over. And funnier to that was, like, on the SNES and to a less degree the SNES, but definitely the NES. Just, like, when you turn that shit off, you have to just, like, start again. So you just, like, would play the same game over and over again.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, it is funny that
NES games are so hard.
RPG was kind of like Donkey Kong 3D-esque. Like, you know, everything was a sprite, but it was 3D based on 3D models.
The Mario RPG,
but
yeah,
then
yeah,
Paper
totally.
Mario, like the sequel went straight up just paper.
Yeah, I mean the effects look cool, and it's so frustrating. And I think any time where you, like, look into Nintendo's history, it's so frustrating because you're like, why can't I just play this now on the console that I have? Like the Paper Mario games yeah. in particular, especially Thousand Year Door, like you wouldn't have to do much to make that game look amazing in 2020. It's already like a gorgeous looking game.
It's not even about looking amazing. If you just yeah.
But like you can...
It's like bonkers. Like get you and I in the fucking marketing room and just go like, oh, you're dropping a new Paper Mario in like July, June. Why don't you do Mario RPG on the fucking Super NES online? Then last week of June, you drop Paper Mario 64 as part of it. And you know what I mean? It's just like, what, that's how you drum up hype.
Yeah. Was the Mario RPG on the Mini?
Good question. I don't think so.
I wonder if it was. SNES Mini. I want to set that up and play some. Yeah, it was. Yeah, so there you go. Mario RPG.
Yeah, wild. Is on. I mean, that means it should be coming to. That means it should be on the Super NES Online, whatever they call it.
Yeah, that was another one that I played on the Wii as well. The Wii eShop was so sick.
I was reading about it. I read finally why it doesn't happen anymore. Like, what happened?
Because of emulation or because of rights?
No, I mean, not really. The main reason is that company... So, a lot of the games weren't first-party games. Like, you'd get one Nintendo game every now and then. But it was also... It was basically like iTunes, where, like, it was a digital store. Virtual Console was, like, a product. And then you bought songs within it, which were, like, video games, I guess. But a lot of them weren't Nintendo ones, which you know, like
yep.
you've played, you know, so many third party. But then third parties were like, oh, why are we letting Nintendo do this? And they're the reason why. So they'll take their own games and package them in that like $60, $80 like HD set you yeah, got yep. the other day. That's literally it. So it's because they were like, oh, we can make money out of this, like more money.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's like, oh, this sucks. Why can't I buy Goof Troop on the Switch eShop? Like... Well,
because before that, you couldn't buy old games. Like, I think the Wii Virtual Console popularized the concept of like
playing old games
yeah, digitally, right. like getting a retro game. It wasn't really a thing before then. The closest thing that I can think of is like Super Mario All-Stars, where they literally remade the games, you know, repackaged them as a remade set. But until the Virtual Console, I remember that being like a big thing at the time. They were like, and you can buy individual old games super cheap and play them whenever you want. And it was like, that's cool. And like PlayStation still doesn't do that. Like they do a remastered HD version and charge full price.
Well, no, on the PS3, you could buy PS1 games.
Totally. But I mean, you can't do that now on the PS4.
Yeah, no, totally. It sucks.
Yeah, you have to buy like... You can't play Shadow of Colossus. You have to buy like the HD remake of Shadow of Colossus.
Yeah, of course. Totally. Yeah, it is. It's
but
so annoying.
But it's interesting that like they caught on that they're like, yeah, so they'll like
we
Castlevania.
We can make more money by
like,
making it
You know,
HD.
Oh, we'll make our own. Yeah, Konami are like, we'll make our own. But I just like the Wii console was consistent, like, because I'm such a nerd, like, all the fonts were the same. Like, it had consistent, like, controls. Like, you could bring up the instruction manual the same way on each game. Like, it felt like a sick product.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah, and but the main reason is other people were like, well, fuck that. We'll sell an $80 shoot 'em up game.
Yeah, it's so weird, though, that, like the Nintendo Online service, I swear they would make more money if they just made every game available for purchase, but I don't even know.
No, they'll drip feed three every month. No, one every 3 months.
Yeah, it's like we're giving you Donkey Kong and then two other games you'll never even consider playing in your lifetime.
I bought a Wii voucher, eShop voucher, the night I bought my Wii at like midnight launch, because I was like, I don't think I even had a credit card then. And I was like, well, I'm going to buy some games. And I bought Donkey Kong Country because I love that game.
Yeah.
As one of the first purchases. The point is, like, I bought that the night the Wii came out. And we've got it 3.5 years into the Switch. It's like, it's Donkey Kong Country. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, yeah. Fuck. It's insane.
So, yeah, Nintendo had a direct mini, which we'll get into in PayFam this week. But what do you think of Paper Mario? Origami King.
Oh man, I love it. Yeah, I'm so into it.
I knew I was gonna like it, but I'm surprised by how much I love it.
It's gorgeous looking. I've played it mainly on the TV just because like the frame rate and res is better, but like on a huge TV it looks phenomenal. It just looks like a cartoon. It's beautiful. The colors are incredible. I love the mechanics. It's funny. The pace is great. Like, it is a relief. And I, like I said before, I wonder how much this is, I've just come off the back of like months of dark and heavy games.
Yeah, totally.
Like Final Fantasy VII, even, like, it is goofy because it's like anime-ish, but it's still like heavy. Like, they take themselves so serious, you know what I mean? Like, there's a few winks, but most of it is these games that are very serious, and that's fine. Like, serious games are sick, but it is nice to just play like non-canon Mario walking around and drinking coffee with like Shy Guys and Goombas. Dude, and he's just like, this rules.
That's my favorite moment in the game so far. When you find the Koopa Troopers cafe.
Yeah, rules.
Yeah.
And they ask you to like compare who's a better villain.
Yeah, yeah. Shy Guys or Goombas.
It's a Goomba. Shy Guys are fucking stolen.
I've always loved Shy Guys though.
Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah. Oh, I love... There was like a funny Doki Doki Panic reference about like someone having like a brain fart and saying it's like thinky thinky panic or something. I don't know. There's lots of like,
yeah.
The localization team, I don't know if the jokes are like that in Japanese or if it's all the localization team doing it for English, but it's like,
no, they just make jokes about how much the eShop sucks. The Japanese fuck, because I bought this with one of my like Nintendo Online vouchers, just Saw some real good shit. Saw some real winners that are going to make some end of year lists.
a lot of horny Mahjong games.
Not even that. Just like games called like Cat Calendar. Like $24. And you're like, I feel so bad for like a parent who's accidentally buying this shit. It's so bad, man. The worst are the ones that like don't have the name of the game on the art. And because the eShop's so stupid, it doesn't have it like written, like there's no like text field where the name of products are.
Oh man.
So like you're just sometimes seeing a picture of like a guy with a sword and you're like, I don't know what this is.
There's a game I'm really looking forward to that Devolver are putting out this week called Carrion. I played the demo
earlier in the year. Oh man, I'm dying to play that.
But the Switch, the icon for the Switch is so bad. Have you seen it? It's like
goatsy shit, right?
Yeah, it's like either like very vaginal or like, yeah, like a it looks like a prolapsed anus.
Nice. I can't wait for the think piece on like a kid getting into porn because of playing that.
Well, like, yeah, the polygon piece that'll be like, why Carrion's prolapsed anus Switch icon is what the world needs right now.
Yeah, why the prolapsed vaginal cavity of Carrion's icon is the cure to COVID-19.
But yeah, man, I'm like, I cannot believe, yeah, one, how much I'm loving Paper Mario Origami King, and two, how big it is. Like,
yeah,
and
it's huge.
I'm so stupidly addicted to it. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to 100% it, just because there's just like, there's hundreds of hidden toads, and you just like, you just run about the scenery, just whacking things with your hammer, trying to find them. And every time you
got that bell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. You get a little bell note to say that, like, oh, it's nearby. And then you just, like, whack everything around you. You find it. The toad says something funny to you. And then it basically, like, when you got the battle system, instead of it being, like, a traditional RPG kind of, like, you know, this person made this attack, this person made this attack, all the enemies are around you in circles, and so you have
to... It's like a dartboard. It's like smaller circle on the inside and bigger ones on the outside. And then, like, it's sliced as well like a dartboard.
What percentage of those puzzles are you doing correctly?
At the start, not so many, but now I'm like 98% of them just constantly.
Occasionally one stumps me so fucking bad. Yeah. Though. It feels good though.
Like, I think it's if you get attacked. I don't think all of them are solvable. I think sometimes if like an enemy in the world map hits you first, then they throw in some extra cunts.
Right.
That are just like, I think that because some of them are just illogical. I refuse to have the puzzle solver on. Because
there's a puzzle
that's
solver.
That's the real tragedy. Yeah, I've got an item that helps you solve puzzles.
Oh right, I got an item that gives you 10 more seconds, so I use that.
Yeah, yeah. And puzzle solvers, it's weird. It's an item you get, but they put in the options. It's basically if you're a baby.
Okay, cool.
Mode.
But that is that is cool. If you just sucked at that, it is cool that they have those accessibility options.
Totally. And if you just are like, I just don't want to deal with that. I just want to play like an RPG.
Because, yeah, that aspect is the only difficult... that and, like, finding little hidden secrets. They're the only two difficult
things. I hated it at first because it's a drag, but I don't mind it now. I think I still would rather just traditional. It's kind of annoying sometimes.
So then you do understand why people really want a return to traditional RPG.
Yeah, totally. Sometimes I'm just like, this is not actually fun.
Right.
Sometimes I've reached moments in boss battle where things just, like... I just don't have the...
Also,
I'm just like, I actually don't...
I like boss battles. I love those.
I like them a lot. Yeah. But then like, each time you have to pick up a letter and learn how to fight, and you just like, it just takes a long time. And it's not long because it's like...
Trial and error.
Challenging. It's long because every move is so slow. One thing I don't like about the game is how slow it is too. There's no run.
Yeah, there's no run and then there's no skip dialogue.
There's no skip. Yeah. And it's very slow game. Yeah. And I'm finding like, it very grating sometimes.
Oh, see, I'm finding it. It is a very peaceful game.
It is peaceful, absolutely, but it can be like V-grating.
Yep. But the story I think is really, really fun, and yeah, finding all the weird collectibles in the world. I actually think if anyone's played it, it reminds me a lot of the tone of an indie game from 2 years ago called Wonder Song, which was about like a bard going on a big like classic kind of adventure, and it had like weird RPG elements too. But
what's it called?
Called Wonder Song.
Like, oh sure.
Like Wonder and Song. Humble Bundle published that one.
Oh sure. Yeah.
But I'm really, really loving it. I think I'm like, I don't know, you can't see the clock until you've played it for 11 days, which is one of the most annoying Switch features.
nice.
But I assume I'm like over the 10, 15 hour mark, and I don't think I'm even halfway through this game yet.
Totally.
But I also love that like it's not entirely linear. Like there are things that you can go and do if you don't want to progress in the story once you're a third or whatever the way through it.
For real.
The music is excellent as well. The
music is rules.
The autumn mountain theme, and especially the battle theme in that, it just gets me pumped.
The battle music's wild.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think like I understand like yeah, it can be stressful or annoying trying to line up the attacks. But then there is something great when you do a
There's
perfect
a satisfaction like thing that goes off in your brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
I did this one, and like you do it. Once you if you take no damage and you perfect the puzzles, then you get like, you know, bonus coins, and then you can buy items to like, you know, make those battles easier, or like, you know, like you take out the enemies in one hit as opposed to, you know, them even having a chance to do any damage on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that the companions were like the Paper Mario ones, where they're like these like warped kind of versions of the Mario characters. Like I remember Thousand Year Door, like one of the companions was like this like bratty little punk pink Yoshi.
Hell yes.
And like a fat witch ghost, like a fat woman.
I saw that. I was watching some YouTube clips of it earlier, and yeah, she's like Ursula from
pretty much like legit
just from Ursula. Little Mermaid with like ghost vibes.
Her superpower was like she could blow paper away. So you just held the one and she blew.
Damn, that's some godly shit in a world of paper.
But yeah, like it's kind of fun having like a Bob-omb, and the origami girl is pretty fun, Olivia.
I'm looking forward to getting some other side characters.
Yeah, for sure. My favorite area so far is the Shogun theme park,
and then that's my favorite moment. And the play,
the play was amazing. And then the hidden ninja thing that you have to do as well, where you have to find all toads. And trying to find Luigi. I always love how Luigi is written in these RPGs. He's just like this.
He's just so busy,
extra pathetic. He's just always trying to be as good. He's as doing Mario.
His own shit.
Yeah, it's great. His side adventure in Thousand Year Door is amazing. Like one of the best things about it. I definitely recommend playing Paper Mario, and I think you and I are gonna like Ghost of Tsushima so much more playing it after playing this, like having this big proper
look. I'm so glad I just have a vibe change. Yeah, I'm super glad we have a vibe change between these,
because I think we won't be immediately comparing it, Ghost of Tsushima, to Last of Us as much. I've seen a lot of people talking about like that the movement in Ghost of Tsushima is so
compared to Last of Us 2 or something. Yeah, which was like butter.
And like people comparing it to like, it's more like a kind of Assassin's Creed game than like your standard kind of third-person Sony adventure game. But I'm still looking forward to it. I mean,
it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, the screenshots people are sharing. I've seen so many screenshots. From photo mode. They look amazing. It looks so good.
Yeah, I'm so excited to play it. But also, I'm just like pumped to be putting in hours into Paper Mario at the moment, going, yeah, this is cool.
Are you
going
to play Ghost of Stanley Tucci subbed or dubbed?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I'd probably just go dubbed. Like, I don't know, the mouth thing I kind of don't want to deal with.
Yeah, I understand that.
I want to see how bad it is, actually.
Yeah,
me too.
Because apparently the Japanese dialogue isn't synced to the characters. But I mean, also, it's made by a bunch of Americans. It's not like, it's a very funny version of Japan.
Yeah, like I'm fine it not being Japanese.
I'm pretty sure the Shogun theme park in Paper Mario is a more accurate portrayal of Japan.
Absolutely.
Than Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, that's just where they work.
So in PayFam this week, we are going to go through, every Mario RPG and like weird, like non-main canon Mario game.
Canon.
Because they have such a, like... Mario is such a crazy franchise in that life.
Dude, playing it again now, I was just like hit with, how's this motherfucker the most recognizable video game character? He's literally an Italian dude with a moustache. And I was just bowled over each time I realized that, which was a lot of times.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's like, this dude is literally a plumber. Like, that is so funny.
He's more recognizable than Mickey Mouse. And what's it's Mickey insane. Mouse's and job? A sailor? Is he a sailor? I don't know.
No, he's nobody. He doesn't have a job.
He's King. King Mickey.
Yeah, whatever he is in, Kingdom Hearts. It'd be sick if... It would be so funny if Mickey Mouse reclaimed the spot of most recognizable cartoon character because of Kingdom Hearts, which is...
Yeah, Sora becomes the face of Disneyland.
Yeah. Kids start getting, foot surgery to make their feet really big.
So we're going to be going through the crazy history of Mario's side piece games, and then we'll also go through the Nintendo Direct.
We're doing
Mini.
The Luigi's of Mario games.
That's right, the green Mario games. We'll report on we'll do a mini report on Nintendo's Mini Direct, and then also reveal some more hot tidbits from me and Angus's steamy weekend away. So if you want to hear all that and more, go to patreon.com/heyfam. Every week we record two episodes of Hey Fam. One is the episode you just listened to now in the regular feed, but the better, hotter, steamier episode is over in PayFam, which you can get
at no Patreon. Ads.
Patreon.com/heyfam.
Get this. We let you get rid of the ads by giving us money.
That's all it takes.
It's crazy.
That's all it takes.
We cut out the middle guy. No, we don't. We use a middle guy. But plus, that middle guy's also getting
plus, we have a Discord server, the HeyFam Discord the PayFam Discord server, which at the moment has a pretty active Ghost of Tsushima spoiler channel if you're looking for someone
and
to
look,
talk
to. And
look,
if you got a little money sitting in your pocket, if you got a little surplus or some handouts because of COVID and you've got a hole in your pocket, this is a place to get enabled to buy shit with it.
Yeah, no, it's nonstop. Just like
there is a
tempting.
Back on my bullshit channel and... Yeah. People just be buying all the time. It rules.
And if you want to get a hot squiz at the Calzone.
Actually, can I just say, speaking of Mario, someone bought a piranha plant bong recently and shared it.
Yeah. Someone unironically shared a photo of an enormous piranha plant bong.
Yeah.
Do you? Shouts to Migs.
Extremely Kevin Smith hours.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. How much was that bong? We should make an official Hey Fam bong just for him.
What could it be? I want a bong.
It's a calzone.
I want a bong that's the pod to pod guys' heads.
That would make a good bongs.
Yeah, I know.
If you want to come and join us, patreon.com/heyfam is where to find us. Failing that, we'll see you next week. Enjoy your morning. Until then.
Just going to leave you with something. I'm going to Google Venom Bong and describe it in the next episode.
Oh, that's a great idea. The next episode is now just going to... Okay, now just going to be a description of Venom Bongs. Perfect. See you over at patreon.com/heyfam. Bye, everyone.
These are great.